Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm glad that you hung in there and suffered through a little bit of hockey, because this is going to be worth it. I promise you that. Time about 7:30 or so here in Southern California, Los Angeles Central Time, whatever it is. Phone number 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Trump is packaging this tax deal totally wrong, and I don't like it. And I tell you, this is why the tax deal is in trouble. It's not in trouble because of McCain. It's not in trouble, but, you know, I saw this piece today. These eight GOP senators can break the GOP tax plan. Okay, all right, whatever. The tax plan's not in trouble because any of these gang of eight people that all have different concerns and some gives and takes that they want to see. This is not the issue. The issue is always the macro, the big picture, which is you've got to sell a tax cut as a growth engine. The Democrats will always sell taxes and tax cuts based on a very simplistic class warfare argument. That's what they do. And now the Republicans aren't doing that. They are trying to talk about how this is a tax cut that gives a tax cut to all Americans and helps the middle class. This is total nonsense rubbish. People right now are saying 31 years ago, you know, Ronald Reagan, last time we had major tax reform in this country, you know, right. But Reagan very correctly and very articulately and simply expressed why tax reform had to exist. And it was quite simple. And what Reagan said then is true today. Tax relief for the top 1%, the evil, wealthy, rich people in America, is critical in order to stimulate the economy. This is how the world turns. Rich people with more money is good for the economy. Period. And nobody's saying this because I don't know. It's not being said. Here is Rachel Bade. She's a writer for Politico. She's on CNN Wolf Blitzer earlier today. This illustrates my point exactly. Listen to her talking about Republicans on messaging vis-a-vis these tax cuts.
They're going to be losing the messaging war on this, right? Republicans have been trying to paint this tax bill as a tax cut mostly aimed at the middle class. But there are two tweaks that are going on in the Senate right now to this bill that will make it even harder to make that sell. The first one being giving small businesses bigger tax cuts, which is something mm-hmm. Ron Johnson of Wisconsin and Steve Gaines of Montana are also pushing for, right? But the problem with doing that is the top 1% comprise something like 80% of those small businesses. So by giving them a bigger tax cut, you're giving more money to that top 1%, which sort of undercuts that middle class argument that Republicans are trying to make.
She's both wrong and right at the same time. She's right about what the Republicans are doing. She's, of course, wrong in that she's on the same page with these Republicans as far as the argument, which is, we're trying to help the middle class. We're trying to help the middle class. Okay, you have who do the middle class work for? They work for small business owners, big corporations. And she's saying, well, look, you've got 80% of these small businesses are in the top 1%. And my point to that is, who gives a rat's rear end about that? Or better yet, good. Good for these small business owners for being in the top 1%. Way to go. I'm not jealous of them. We got to get back to being the America that supports and encourages and fosters business. The business of America's business. You've simply got to get over this argument that middle class, middle class, middle class. Okay, it's great. I get it. But the thing that Trump is failing to articulate here is the middle class succeeds and does well when business in America is allowed to prosper. So what is, you know, Johnson and Daines, two senators here who are really, really pushing for this notion of pass-through tax cuts. See, a lot of corporations, like, for example, S-Corp, a lot of small businesses are set up as S-Corps. And all this means is that money comes into the business. Their, you know, expenses, payroll and rents and other expenses are paid out. And then whatever profit is generated by business is basically forwarded on, I'm trying to simplify this, but forwarded on to the individual or individuals that own that business. And they now have it as income. The other way this works is, you know, like a C Corp, where you have the company makes money and then the corporation is taxed. Well, if you lower taxes for corporations, but not for these pass-through entities, you see that it benefits one group of entities and not the other. It creates disparity. And it generally favors, I'll tell you this, it'll generally favor large corporations. Like a company like Coca-Cola is a C Corp, probably, I would assume. And a company like, I don't know, your corner grocer, independent, you know, grocer, if there is such a person left in this country, that guy is probably set up as an S Corp if he's incorporated. And I'm a huge fan of small business. And I think small business has to be allowed to prosper and succeed. And you cannot create a tax code that gives greater benefit to big corporations and not to these smaller businesses. Because a tremendous number of jobs in this country are generated by these small businesses. And as I said last night in talking about this, very simple thing, small businesses become eventually big businesses. They got to start somewhere. So this is a thing of critical importance. And if you're wondering what the Democrats are saying, well, you just go to the communist in chief over there, Bernie Sanders. And this is what he's saying about this tax cuts. The demagoguery here, if you listen to this, the demagoguery is very clear, but it's devastatingly effective. Listen to this.
This legislation is a disastrous and unfair piece of legislation which gives huge tax breaks to the people who need it the least, the very, very wealthy. In my view, I have not the slightest doubt that if this bill, God forbid, is passed, as soon as it is passed, the Republican leadership will come back and say, my God, we have to deal with the deficit, and that's why we're going to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and education.
Aha, there it is, the scaremongering, right? We're going to start cutting benefits and taking away old people's, you know, wheelchairs and walkers and throwing them out on the street. But understand this, to a vast majority of people out there that are just stupid, this sells. This is what drives most Democrats to the polls. This type of nonsense, this belief that the only way that you right society, turn it, you know, organize everything in a good way is to punish the rich, the evil, wealthy rich. They don't need a tax cut. But I look at an economy and I want to live in an economy where the rich can spend as much of their money as possible, where the rich want to reinvest their wealth. You know, the Obama years created an enormous constriction because the wealthy were afraid to invest their money. They were afraid that at any given moment, the more liberal elements of the Obama White House, the more liberal elements of the Dimes, Democratic controlled Congress, would come in and get, you know, and begin to get confiscatory with economic policy. And that alone right there, that's why right now you don't want people sitting on their money. You want people investing it. You want people getting greedy. Greed is good. I don't want to get too Gordon Gekko on you, but this idea that you're going to just give the middle class some tax cuts. And you're going to just make it up by taxing the rich more is absolute lunacy. It is absolute lunacy. So this is what Trump needs to do. If he wants this thing to go through and get done, there has to be a compelling counterargument expressed to what Bernie Sanders is saying. And the argument is very simple. We need to embrace the wealth creators. We cannot punish these people. These people are good for our economy, are good for our country. And those of us who are gainfully employed in some way or other benefit from their industry, benefit from their risk, benefit from their hard work and labor that have created these successful enterprises. And that is something that I'm not hearing. I'm not hearing it anywhere. I'm not hearing it from any particular Senate Republicans. I mean, it's just not out there. Because everybody is cowed into believing that you have to cater to the middle class because that's where the voters are. And I understand that. I get that. But you can woo those voters with big ideas. Voters are not as stupid as I think some of these guys think they are. And Reagan, 31 years ago, it was exactly right. And he was able to articulate this big vision and big plan. And that's what got this thing done. That's what got it done, even though he certainly had in some respects, a greater political headwind than Trump is suffering from here. I will say this. As far as political headwinds go, there are a certain number of GOP senators who absolutely hate and loathe Trump and will do anything and everything to destroy him, McCain being one of them. I just saw there's some opinions right now as people are counting the maybes, the yeses, and the noes. That it really may come down once again, just like the repeal of Obamacare that tanked, may come down to McCain. And McCain is such a spiteful piece of crap. I'm sorry. It's a spiteful, petty, low guy that I could see this being I could see him scuttling this whole thing just to screw Trump. Remember, he's also on his way out, both politically and perhaps in a more physical way. He's getting on his way out. And so is Corker, Bob Corker from Tennessee, and also Jeff Flake from Arizona. And these three guys absolutely hate Trump. And when you're hearing their arguments for this, I won't sign any piece of legislation that adds a penny to the deficit. That to me, as I read that as code. That is code for basically if I'm given any excuse not to vote for this, I'm not voting for it. Because there is certainly, and my belief is, that when you stimulate the economy, look, again, this is like business. And tax revenues, you got to be a little bit of a businessman when you understand tax revenues. If you have a business and you've got and you own 100% of the business, but it's tiny, it's small, aren't you better off owning maybe 1% or 2% of a giant big thing that's generating millions and millions of dollars and you're taking your little cut, but it's a lot more money, right? It's not about the percentage. It's about how big the pie is. And people oftentimes don't understand this. Politicians, among them, most commonly don't get this at all, that if you've got an expanding and growing economy stimulated by lower taxes, then in that type of environment, what do you have? You've got a bigger pie. The economy's bigger. There's more money turning. There's more money coming in. Remember, part of this is, for example, creating incentives for these big companies to repatriate money that is being kept abroad, and that creates revenue. So when they're scoring these things, these bean counters, I don't know how they do it, but my guess is, I mean, it's very politicized, and they're not looking at what the potential raise, the increases in pie size are. And these are the same people that a year ago were telling me, a year and a month ago, if Trump gets elected, the stock market's going to crash. The sky will fall. Chicken Little will break in two. I mean, it was, this kind of thing. We'll never put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Okay. These are the same people that are sitting in there in the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, and going, well, okay, I think this is going to add a penny to the deficit. And at that moment, Every person who's against Trump and hates Trump is just going to say, that's it, I'm done. It's petty. It's silly. These are grown men and women in Congress that swore, literally made a pledge to serve you, the American people. And this is the kind of nonsense that they do. Oh, there's a Trump tweet, too. Speaking of children, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. This was quite an upheaval today. I'll give you my thoughts on that when we come back. All right, don't go anywhere. More on this. We're plowing ahead. We're here 8 o'clock hour 2, so don't worry. Plenty of Sam Nation hot up next. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Vis-a-vis the tax plan, I think the most important thing here is the fight to include a tax break for these pass-through companies. This is vital. I think so many businesses that you interact with, that you know, maybe even a business that you work for, would actually be hurt by this. Okay, if this modification is not put in place. Steve Daines, Republican Montana senator, he's the one who's one of the two guys that's fighting for this. And he was talking earlier today with Fox News and Martha McCallum there. And I don't know how you read this, but listen to this. It sounds like he possibly is getting his way a little bit. I sense some optimism here. Have a listen.
Well, I think we cannot forget the historic perspective that needs to be brought to this discussion. 31 years ago was the last time when President Reagan led the charge for historic tax reform and tax cuts. This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. This is a chance for us to get the economy growing again. We've already got consumer confidence at a 17-year high last month. And we're seeing the stock markets continue to set records in anticipation, in great part, of what we're going to do here on Capitol Hill as it relates to tax cuts. So the president understands that. He's supporting. We're trying to take this. Now we've gotten the details this afternoon and tonight. I think we're getting close. Hopefully we can close this deal tomorrow.
Would you say you're leaning yes?
Based on what I heard tonight, the ball's moving in the right direction. I was a no here yesterday and this morning, but I've had good discussions. We don't have this deal closed yet, but it's getting awfully close.
That is great news, in my opinion. Anyway, we got a caller. Rob, Santa Clarita, what are you? Welcome to the program. Rob?
Hey, Sam, how are you?
Hey, Sam. Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you talked about the increasing pie, because what is never discussed is that not only does the economy grow, but you end up with more taxpayers and less tax takers. So not only do you have more people paying income taxes, even at a lower rate, but you have fewer people on the dole. They're not getting welfare. They're not getting food stamps. They're not getting unemployment. So for these people to say it won't pay for itself is ludicrous.
Yeah. You know, and one important thing, you raise an excellent point. One important thing is that you're not just helping the top 1%. You're growing out the top 5%. You're growing out the top 10%. And these are people that are then, you know, people don't realize this. When you have money to spend, you spend it. And in a business, you hire more people, because when you bring more people on, they can make you more money. There's greed involved. You want to succeed. But all of a sudden, that business that started out with revenues of, I don't know, 200, you know, 300K a year, all of a sudden it's 500, 600, 700K a year. And now, even though you've lowered taxes, let's say by 5% or 10%, whatever it is, that business is doubling the revenue. So I'm just going to throw out some numbers. If the business was paying, or the business owner was paying on $300,000, was paying, I don't know, but let's call it, you know, $60K or $80K, you know, in taxes. As his business doubles, and that's conceivable. I mean, I've done that. I've seen this. I've done it with my own hands, my own business. I've seen it double. And I've seen it double when Bush tax cuts came in, even though they weren't very big. They helped us. Okay. So I know this, and now the business doubles. And guess what? Uncle Sam isn't collecting 60, 70, 80 grand anymore. It's collecting 100, 50, 140, 160. It's, and even though the tax rate is lower and the tax earner, the taxpayer gets to keep more of what he's making, government still gets more. So, Ron, I'm feeling optimistic. Oh, Ron, we lost you. Well, anyway, thank you so much for calling. Great to hear from you and great to have you as a listener. This really is so critical. All right, I'm going to get to the tax, the tweets. You know, Trump sent out a tweet. Nancy Pelosi and Chuckie Schumer had a cow, and the cow then jumped over the moon, or however it goes. I'll tell you about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I love this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So, Trump sent a tweet. Now, I am your official Trump translator. This is a heavy burden because there's a lot of translating out there that needs to be done, because I literally watch CNN all day today and they haven't got a clue. There's no one on CNN that understands Trump. So here's the tweet. Trump sends this out. He's going to have a meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Meeting with Chuck and Nancy today about keeping government open and working. Problem is, they want illegal immigrants flooding into our country unchecked, are weak on crime, and want to substantially raise taxes. I don't see a deal. So he sends this tweet out, and all Hades breaks loose. Well, they had a meeting at the White House with Pelosi and Schumer and then the Republican leaders. And Nancy and Chuck, they said, we're not going. We're not going to this meeting because Trump hurt our feelings. Okay. You know what this is all about? Well, okay, yeah, Schumer gave that long-winded speech. I'm not even getting it. So gave a long-winded speech about it, saying how, you know, this is not productive. Let me see. What's her time? Yeah, okay, let's play it. Listen to this clip. Listen to what he says, because this is just comedic gold. Listen to it.
Instead of leading, the president tweeted a blatantly inaccurate statement and then concluded, I don't see a deal, before he heard anything we had to say. Leader Pelosi and I believe the best path forward is to continue negotiating with our Republican counterparts in Congress instead. We've asked Leader McConnell and Speaker Ryan to meet with us this afternoon. We don't have any time to waste addressing the issues that confront us. So we're going to negotiate with Republican leaders who may actually be interested in reaching a bipartisan agreement.
Okay, here's your Sam Nation translation. You ready? We want to negotiate with weak Republicans. That's what we want to do. We want Speaker Ryan and Leader McConnell, because these guys are pussies wearing the tight little meow meow hats, and they're the ones that are going to cave. Remember, when you hear a Democrat talk about bipartisanship, what they're talking about is Republicans doing what Democrats want. That is bipartisanship in the parlance of Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C. Democrats. So don't be fooled. What this was, the tweet went out, and there's far more. Trump has tweeted a lot more incendiary stuff and had Pelosi and Schumer show up, you know, at the White House, you know, wagging their tails and wanting stuff. They realize that Trump is sharpening his knives. There is a December 8th. Is it December 8th? There's a shutdown looming. They need to pass an omnibus spending. And Trump is absolutely right. The Democrats want to push through DACA. They want more illegals. Okay, well, fine. But Trump doesn't. He knows it's death for him. And so he's digging his heels in. And he doesn't think he has to give on this point. And he's threatening them with a shutdown. And they don't like it because they're used to Republicans rolling over and playing dead. And they're not getting that right now. Okay, speaking of playing dead, North Korea, talk about that a little bit. Some other stuff. There's a lot going on. We only have an hour and a half today. I have a giant shoehorn over here, and I'm gonna shove it all in here into the next hour, and make sure it fits nice and snug as a bug. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after the news with John Wolf.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Oh, yeah. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right, I'm going to tell you why you don't need to worry at, not going to say at all, but you need to not worry about North Korea and sort of just tune out some of the hype that is out there. But before I do that, let me just, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you on vacation? You know, people go on vacation to just enjoy, right? That's the idea. You leave, you pack your bags, you go someplace beautiful, nice, or not, quiet, at any rate, away from home. You think everything's going to go smoothly. And then it doesn't. So last week for Thanksgiving, so we went to Barbados. And if you remember last year, I did a few shows from there. And I didn't do that this time because I really needed a week off. So sorry about that. I left and that was that. It was a fantastic week. Everything was going swimmingly until we were in downtown Bridgetown, which is the capital of Barbados. We were there on Friday. And I hear this thud behind me. It didn't sound good. I didn't know what it necessarily was. I look back, and Sherry is flat on the ground. And we have no idea. She slipped. It was just a freak accident. Slipped, and it became really clear she was not doing well. So took her to the hospital, which is a great story in and of itself because I ended up in a public emergency room in Barbados. Terrifying. But she had a really bad fracture in her elbow, her right elbow. And when you are badly hurt and you're, thousands of miles away from home in a third world country, it's a little frightening. So we got her home and she had her surgery today. Just before the show here, I made sure she's all taken care of. It was a crazy thing. You're supposed to have a nice, fun vacation, and then things happen. So that's my story. By the way, when I talk about the emergency room, let me tell you, so they have socialized medicine there, but they have the option, of course, of private care. So I show up at the emergency room, and first things first, there's a giant sign in there that says, all I know is it had Ebola on it like 10 times. It was like Ebola, 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 Ebola. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to go in with a broken elbow and come out with Ebola. So we sit down, I have to fill out these forms, and they are just not at all interested in helping. I mean, it is like the DMV. So when everybody talks about single payer, you talk about this great world of how great it's going to be when Bernie Sanders is running the healthcare system, and it's like one giant VA for all of us in this country, and doing away with privatized medicine because that's not fair. Okay, you talk about that type of world. Get ready to have healthcare look like the DMV. Because that is exactly how it was. By the way, there she is with her elbow, right? And Sherry gave birth to a 9-pound, 5-ounce child, our first, without any meds, okay? And she's crying. And there's not even that many people in the waiting room. And they are just taking their sweet time. So anyway, I found a private clinic, drove there. But it's all about options and choices. That is what we want in healthcare. Trust me, it's just a small aside, but very important. All right. Now, North Korea. Okay, I'm not a CIA agent. I'm not an intel officer, but I am a rational, thinking, reasonable human being. I'm not prone to hysterical fits. I don't get the vapors, I'm going to give this to you as reasonably as I possibly can. Kim Jong-un, as much as I enjoy making fun of him because he's fat and he's got a ridiculous haircut, he's a rational actor. Everything that North Korea is doing right now is rational. And when you read even very respected news sources talking about how this unhinged, you know, crazy man, this is not true. This is not the case. I'm going to tell you why he wants nukes, and it is not to nuke Manhattan Beach, okay? If you live in Manhattan Beach and you just read today that the ICBM missile that he fired has an 8,000-mile range and it can basically go right into the middle of your, you know, in your living room, it's not what Kim Jong-un wants. What Kim Jong-un wants is to live. Trust me. He wants, in a perfect world for him, he's not a fatalist. He's not some crazy Islamist that, you know, wants to, you know, meet his maker and get his 72 virgins. He's not, he is somebody who wants to stay atop of his crappy dog pile for as long as he possibly can. That is what Kim Jong-un wants. So, firing nukes at America does not get him that. Okay? The reason he's building a nuclear arsenal is because of Muammar Gaddafi. Now, who is Gaddafi? You remember Gaddafi is, well, yes, the best dressed man in North Africa. Muammar Gaddafi, Gaddafi is the Libyan dictator. And Gaddafi was building nuclear weapons, weapons of mass destruction, and agreed to unilateral disarmament in 2003. And he did it. He disarmed. Do you know what happened to Gaddafi? Well, 2003 is a long time ago. And then the Obama administration come along, and then there was this really, I don't know if you heard about this, but there was this fantastically brilliant, I mean really brilliant, capable, intelligent, sophisticated future president named Hillary Rodham Clinton, who was in the State Department, not just in the State Department, she was Secretary of State. And her and Obama smoked a crack pipe and came up with this great idea that they were going to bomb Gaddafi. Now, they would start with a no-fly zone, which eventually led to rebels taking him over, taking over Libya, and Gaddafi ended up getting, you know, was hiding in a drain pipe somewhere and then got shot in the face. Not a particularly happy ending for Mr. Gaddafi. Now, I get he's a terrorist, he's a loathsome person, vile person, he probably had like 7 strains of herpes. I get all of that. But what I'm getting at here is imagine you are Iran. Imagine you're North Korea. Now, you are countries that the United States does not like. The United States is prone to changes in political ideas and political governments, right? Because we have elections every 4 years that affect policy. And you're looking at this and you're going, oh my gosh, that Gaddafi guy, he did everything they wanted. He disarmed, you know. He made his peace with the international community. He did all of that, and they still took him out. So why the hell would we disarm? This, I promise you, the thinking is that simple. If you've ever played chess, this is chess. This is simple. This is arbitrage. Whatever you want to call it. It is game theory. These people are rationally thinking this through. Because the only thing keeping us from just rolling through right now North Korea is our suspicion that maybe they've got some big bad bomb that they can unleash on us. And that very thought is probably the only reason Mattis hasn't, you know, just poof, the whole, you know, northern part of the Korean Peninsula. This is all strategy, and that is why these missiles are being fired. They're being fired demonstratively. Look what we've got. Oh, we got a new one. Look at this one. It goes even further. And it is a deliberate effort to send a message to Washington that, you know, we've got weapons too. Now, I find Kim Jong-un's regime is perhaps one of the most loathsome on this planet. North Korea is absolutely a disgusting, terrible, terrible state. And I would love nothing more than to see a reunification of the Koreas and an elimination of the communist dictatorship there in North Korea. Absolutely. But I'm simply addressing this narrow, very, very narrow and stupid view that You know, that you know, we're at any minute now, we're all going to get blown up and nuked. Because it's not happening. It's not going to happen. And also, I would say this, too, for those of you who are saying, well, but Sam, you know, he may be rational, but Trump isn't. Okay. All right. When Trump put in General Mattis as Secretary of Defense, when he put in Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State, it's a very clear signal that these are thinking, careful, intelligent, sophisticated guys who are not going to rush into anything. And Trump's doing his Twitter rhetoric and he's lobbing his word bombs out there. But behind the scenes is what matters. Yeah, he's playing the hold me back card. Oh, Madison, Tillerson, just hold me back. I can't, let me at the mop top. This is all part of a strategy. But I don't think at the end of the day, I don't think the strategy is going to result in dearmament unless you escalate this any further. So it's sort of this intractable game. And ultimately, a regime like North Korea probably disintegrates from within, the same way the Cold War ended. The Cold War did not end in a nuclear holocaust. The Cold War ended because the regime, socialism, Bernie Sanders, I hate to break it to you, pal, socialism is unsustainable. It doesn't work. The math doesn't add up. Sorry. So everything you learned at Berkeley is wrong. yeah, that's our tax dollars at work. Okay, maybe you took the high-speed rail there, though. You could take that to class. But here, so the scoop is this. North Korea, they're so broke right now. They are so broke that, like we talked about last night, they've got their elite border guards, their best troops, are literally eating dirt, clumps of dirt, and dry corn kernels. It's not real food. Their troops aren't being fed. This is a giant charade. And what we're trying to figure out right now, honestly, I'm telling you, Trump is figuring out, Mattis, everybody's trying to figure out what they've got and how much it really can hurt us. And based on that, calculations are coming into play. But you're not going to get anywhere with North Korea by saying, oh, please, how can we help? How can we do this? Let me give you money. Let me bribe you. Let me... The Democrats' standard play, and even many Republican presidencies have done this, just appeasing a North Korean despot. That doesn't work either. You've got to make them believe that you, too, are ready to dance. So with this going on, yeah, I don't think that this is going to go. So we have a caller. Ah, Mike in Newport Beach, right in my backyard. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you doing, Sam?
Well, I'm fantastic. Welcome to the program. Glad to have you. What do you make of all of this?
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to tell you that it's nice to hear somebody who thinks like a normal person should. And it's a pleasure to listen to your program.
Thank you. Thank you.
The thing that worries me most about North Korea, every day that passes, they're getting closer and closer to being able to miniaturize nuclear weapons. And eventually, they'll have the ability to have small nuclear weapons. And since they need money, they will be selling them to terrorists.
Yeah, that's right.
That's something that I worry about. And
that's a great point. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the fancy word for this is nuclear proliferation, right? You hear this term a lot, but what it really means is exactly what Mike, what you're saying is that they're going to build the bomb. They're going to need to monetize it because they're broke as a joke. And they're gonna be selling it on the black market, sort of like we saw in Pakistan with the Khan network. They were selling nuclear technology, and it was a frightening thing. And now you're putting it in the hands of people who really truly have nothing to lose. So I get all that, and my suspicion is that every month that we wait to do something, the closer they become. The closer they get to that goal of really having something that can hurt us. Mike, thank you so much for calling. I'm happy to hear from you. It was a great point that you raised. Absolutely. All right. Where I am so turned around with this hour and a half show. What is it? Yes, thank you. I know what time it is. All right. Super. We're going to be back right after this. More thoughts on this and some other things going on. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So, with tax reform rocking its way through Congress, ICBM missiles being launched from in and around Pyongyang, what do we have? We still are talking about Elizabeth Warren and Trump's Pocahontas jibe. All right. You know, what's mystifying to me is why would Elizabeth Warren want to even keep talking about it? I've seen her do all the rounds, right? And it's terrible. Her voice is so grating. I won't do it to you. She sounds she sounds like that one of my worst law school professors who just pedantically anyway. So they've been making the rounds, and she's playing the victim card. But here's the problem. Back in 2012, you know what this all comes back down to? Is back in 2012, it came out that in her application for work at Harvard Law School, she listed herself as a Native American, right? She claimed the minority status. And it probably helped her. You know when you fill out those forms? I always hate this, by the way. You get the form and it says, what race are you? And then it lists like 20 million hyphens. And then there's a box that says white. And I'm looking at my skin and I'm like, well, I'm pink. So I don't know if I'm necessarily white, but that's for Casper. I don't know. Anyway, it's obnoxious. And how many times, if you're a Caucasian, how many times are you tempted to just like see what would happen on that application if you bubbled in black or you bubbled in some other color? Well, anyway, that's what she did. And when they pressed her, you know, the media kind of went after her a little bit. Republicans were going after her a little bit. You know what she said? She said, well, I don't really have any. It's just anecdotal evidence, you know, family, you know, we talked about it. And my grandfather had high cheekbones. She said that. Which, by the way, I mean, if a Republican was like, I don't know, that guy over there looks like an Indian. I think he's got some high cheekbones. I mean, he would be pilloried. I would stay away from this if I were her as much as I possibly could. And this is Trump brilliantly. Again, the Democrats, the media, Elizabeth Warren, they are all cats, and Trump's got the laser pointer, a.k.a. his Twitter account. And he's just putting it up there and putting it over there on the wall and the ceiling. And these kitties are just going nuts. They're just bouncing off the walls. And in so doing, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They end up becoming the caricature that Trump has created. The reason it's so effective, though, is that all of Trump's little caricatures are grounded in some real articulable fact. And the real articulable fact here is that Warren lied. She did what I bet a lot of other people do, and that many of us, you know who you are, have fantasized about doing, which is, hey, I wonder what happened if I bubble this box and say that I'm black or that I'm Hispanic or whatever. And she did that. And she didn't do it in a Rachel Dolezal kind of way, you know, where I'm transracial, or, you know, just, you know, I'm trans black or whatever. I mean, you know, she's not even doing that. She's like, well, I'm just an old white granny from Massachusetts, and maybe, just maybe, you know, Grandpa said something about us being Indians. This is the kind of thing that is happening. And she, if I were her, And if, and this is all, by the way, what's behind the scenes here is 2020, right? The big race for president. And all of these Democrats think that Trump is so vulnerable. The Democrats all think this is their race to win. So all of these stars within the Democratic Party, and Elizabeth Warren, this is how shallow their talent bench is. She's one of them. They are all positioning themselves to become viable candidates in the primaries. And they think they're going to go head to head with Trump. But he is, this is so clever. So while the rest of the media is busy calling Trump's Twitter account a load of nonsense and unpresidential and so forth and so on, I'm telling you, it's pure political genius, and he's using it to quietly undermine his opponents. They're doing it to themselves. All right, don't go anywhere. We got the news up next with John Wolfe. I'll be back after that. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're in the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the Orange Curtain. Yes. The latest poll released in the very contentious Alabama Senate race. Plus 8 points for Roy Moore. This is, this we were talking a little bit about this yesterday. The average is somewhere at about, a dead heat of all the polls, the Real Clear Politics average. At the same time, I want to point out that NFL ratings, viewership, and game attendance is at an all-time record low. This doesn't make sense. Okay, if you're in the mainstream media, if you're consumed with mainstream conventional thinking, this doesn't make any sense. You got Roy Moore out there pulling a pistol out of his pocket. And talking about how, homosexuality ought to be illegal and all this crazy stuff. And he's down there in the South. And then he has these, credible accusers that come out and say that he's done some terrible things a long time ago. And he still possibly could win this race. And then we have these very conscientious football players who are just expressing themselves as good Americans. And public's turning against them. See, this is all part, this all fits together. All these pieces fit together. And the picture out there is that, I'm telling you, a year post-Trump, meaning past the election, when Trump was elected, the public, the American public, by and large, I'm not talking about you in Santa Monica, or you in, Manhattan or San Francisco or Seattle, but I'm talking about the rest of the country. There are lots and lots and lots of people who are fed up with the BS that the elites have been feeding them. They're done. They're willing to overlook Moore's allegations against him. They don't care. That might be staggering. It was shocking to you, but they don't care. It's not about Roy Moore, what he did or he didn't do. They are so sick into the idea that there would be another plus one fighting lower taxes, fighting to keep Obamacare, fighting to keep in regulations, fighting to allow illegal immigrants. That's so reprehensible to them. It's picking the lesser of two evils. This is over the media's head. All they see is 3 inches in front of their face, if that. On my way down to Barbados, I stopped. I had breakfast in Boca Raton, Florida. I don't know if you know where Boca is. It's just north of West Palm Beach, and it is nothing like West Palm Beach. What do I mean by that? It's poorer, okay? It's more typical Florida, and it's not a bunch of rich people from New York. And I pull into this restaurant. We had to get some breakfast, and the kids were tired. And so we pull in this little restaurant, and you know, this isn't, by the way, even the Midwest or any place like that. This restaurant, American flags everywhere. Okay, it's like it was kind of a diner type of thing. Flags everywhere. Patriotic slogans. They had a corner of the restaurant that was some kind of a wall with the Rotary Club symbols up. Then they had another easel set up honoring a local veteran. I go to use the bathroom in the back, and I had to walk around the kitchen. I look out into the back of the restaurant for the employee parking, and the first car I see has a Trump hat on the behind the windshield, you know, on the dashboard. My point is, these Americans vote. They're out there. You may not interact with them. Gosh knows Jake Tapper doesn't interact with them or anyone else at CNN. But these people exist. They're mad as hell, and they want their NFL back, taken away from the crazies, and they're willing to send Roy Moore to the Senate. I'm telling you, willing to send Roy Moore to the Senate if it means getting Trump's agenda through. Think about that. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergner. Look, this is the only name you need if you get into an accident, suffer an injury. I don't know. Maybe you're somewhere saying Barbados, you slip and fall. Just kidding. I whatever injury or accident that you have, don't go at it alone. Make sure you've got James in your corner, and he will be. He'll fight for you. He'll make sure you get what you deserve, and you're taken care of, and you're not taken advantage of by the insurance company or the representatives for that other guy that caused whatever it is that's ailing you. All right, you got to have his phone number handy. You got to keep this handy. You never know when you or a loved one will need it. 800-881-2021. Keep that number close. No recovery, no fee. You don't owe him anything until he settles your case. Also, all consultations are free. Call 24/7, however many days in the year there are, anytime. James and his team are standing by. They will talk to you. Great and easy to talk to. We'll give you the advice that you need. All right, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. There is a bit of controversy coming out of Japan. This is a Japanese soccer club called, I think, Cerezo Osaka. It's a J-League soccer game. They're playing Vissel Kobe, another team. And they dressed up a miniature monkey or a little monkey in a soccer uniform in their team colors. And I've been watching this video all afternoon because this monkey comes out. He's standing on his hind legs. He's in a little cute little soccer outfit. And he is supposed to do the kickoff, but he doesn't. He takes the ball instead and hands it to the player. And the crowd's going wild. And the animal rights groups are beside themselves, right? I mean, this is... I think the monkey, he's on a leash. I go to Disneyland and people have their kids on a leash. So the monkey's on a leash. You know, I'm a huge animal lover. My poor Lucy, you know, when I kept her on a leash, it was for her own safety. So, you know, if a coyote came by, I could pull her to safety. So I don't look, this is such a non-controversy, but it is interesting to me. I've been observing this for some time, mostly on Instagram. I don't know why Instagram brings this up, but a lot of real just upset people out there in the animal rights movement. Really aggressively pushing this narrative that, you know, animals, you know, need protecting and all this. What do I think of all this? Look, I can't be cruel to animals. Absolutely not. There's a special place in hell for people that are cruel to animals. But, you know, we have a long history as mankind of eating meat. And most of our bodies, in my view, require some of it in our diet. And I've never, ever, ever met a vegetarian that looks healthy. Speaking of white, you know, checking all the races, Hispanic American, you know, I don't know, southern tip of Mexico American, white. Yeah, you check that box when you're a vegetarian because you're pasty white and you look unhealthy. And the other thing is, I don't know if you've noticed this, people say they're eating salads and they're being healthy or vegetarian, and then they load so much dressing on it, they end up having more calories than you or I. But one thing about this monkey, I saw this video, and I think this would be a great way for the NFL to get their mojo back. I think, no. This is not how I mean it. No, I don't mean that at all. It's a macaw. This is a really cute little monkey. They should put it in a little, like a Tom Brady uniform. Put him out there. Let him run around a little bit. Maybe this could totally reinvigorate the whole game. But the damn monkey better stand for the national anthem. If that monkey sits or takes a knee, it's over. No, this monkey's super cute. You got to see this video. Can we put this up on our Facebook? You tell me. You let me know if you think that this is animal cruelty or not. I want to hear from you because I think this is just cute and adorable. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
So I promised I would tackle this hour and a half here with a shoehorn. How am I delivering? How am I doing? I think pretty good, right? We've covered a lot of ground. This is why this show is such a must listen. Because we do. We cover a lot of stuff. Always at the end of the day, you know, the news for the most part by 7 o'clock has mellowed out. And so now we do a nice review of everything going on. Important note, this is not silly at all. This is actually very important. There's a big case that's interesting to me in the Supreme Court. And it's a very important case having to do with something that we all do all the time. Well, we do it because if you have a cell phone, you do this. You use your cell phone. And every time you use your cell phone, it's your cell phone's communicating with a tower somewhere, right? That's how the system works. And it's sending not just information about who you called, but where you are, right? Your location. And that data is being stored by Verizon or Sprint or whoever your cell phone carrier is in a big giant file on you. And they have all this info. Well, there's a guy that got arrested for a string of robberies. The case, that's not important, but basically the police in the case went straight to his cell phone provider, his company, and said, turn over the data. And they didn't have a warrant. And the company turned it over. And they could see, you know, where he'd been for the last however many weeks. And basically figured out that, yeah, sure, he was conveniently enough, he was at this robbery and that robbery. Da, da, da. So you've got a guy who, I'm going to say this. Let's just say this. He's probably guilty, right? He probably did it, right? But that's not the issue. The issue is the government, are the police, a prosecutor, whoever's requesting this, are they entitled to get that information without a warrant? And it's a pickle. I'm going to tell you, I'm not really entirely sure how the court is going to rule, but one thing that's very interesting, this may surprise many of you that listen to me and follow this program, but maybe haven't always heard me talk about Supreme Court cases, on privacy issues, you tend to get good rulings from the justices that we hate, you know, like Sonia Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They are usually spot on when it comes to these privacy rights and civil liberties cases. And for example, like Justice Rehnquist, you know, very stalwart conservative justice now long deceased, he was terrible on these cases. When I read Rehnquist's decisions were awful. I am one who is very suspicious of the long arm of the government. And the implication here is that the government could basically, with no due process, right, with no Fourth Amendment protection, basically compile data on who you associate with, who you're with, where you are. And you're going to say, but yes, Sam, the NSA does all that. Yeah, but it's not constitutional. So the technology that surrounds us can do one thing. But the Constitution, this old piece of paper that the liberals always want to tell us is out of date. It has protections in it that really should prevent this type of thing to happen without the supervision of a judge. That process is called a warrant. So I'm going to be following this case and let you know how it turns out, because I think there's implications in it for all of us. It really is. You never know. Somebody's going to accuse you of a crime. Next thing you know, they're figuring out exactly where you are without probable cause. And you don't want police doing this. What if you're dating a cop and suddenly, you know, they get jealous, would go and search you on the system and be able to pull all that data up? No, I don't like it one bit. And I'm hoping the Supreme Court decides well. All right, we're out of time. We're back at the usual time tomorrow, 7 p.m. on Wednesday. I'll be here, so I hope you are too. Talk to you then.